$2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition. We got Hump Day Harvey K., Dr. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and most importantly, friend of ours. Harvey, thanks for coming around, man. Harvey, we got to talk a little football before we get to the politics. And Aaron Rodgers, the beloved and hated quarterback of the Green Bay Packers. 4 years, $200 million. I said it a couple times yesterday. That's a lot of cheese, Harvey. What do you think, man? I think you were sometimes critical of the Packers quarterback and league MVP.
Just the team and would he play or not. It's a whole community up here in Northeast Wisconsin, probably a whole community as far as South Milwaukee and out to Madison and north. I mean, when he messed around with whether or not he was coming back, he was insulting us. And I was outraged. And then, you know, things could calm down because he joined us and we were doing great, except for that first game in the South. We got to avoid games where there's heat and humidity, that's for sure. And we're having a great season. And then it turns out, you know, that he has COVID, that he had lied basically about having been vaccinated or at least immunized. And it was like, I kept thinking to myself, what is with this guy? I mean, doesn't he understand that there are a lot of people who depend on him economically and emotionally, in fact, when you think about how people feel the day after a Packers loss versus a victory or vice versa. So, you know, I in the middle of the season, I thought, don't even come back. Give us a break already. And the unfortunate thing was that Jordan Love didn't quite live up to my hopes and expectations when he went in against the Kansas City Chiefs. Though, admittedly, he didn't have much time to get ready for that opportunity. Well, the end of the season came, and I was convinced when people asked me, so what's going to happen with Rodgers for next year? I said, he'll be back. Okay, he'll ask for more money. He'll be back. The question is, can we hold together Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers, and whoever else he wants to hold on to? Then all of a sudden, you got to admit, this has been a roller coaster since the end of the season. And then, what was it? The other day, they said he was negotiating with both the Tennessee Titans and the Denver Broncos. And I thought, what is this all about? You know, my hatred for what he was doing to this team, I was reminded of it and it came back. My daughter and her fiance, who are really major Packer fans, they live out in New York, they were going through this roller coaster thing. But my daughter kept saying, you got to bring him back. You know, we have to bring him back because he's a guarantee to make it to the playoffs, even if he's guaranteed to lose the playoffs. Sorry. Oh, my wife told me not to say guaranteed before I came on. Okay.
Dr. Harvey K., my fine guest. Harvey, this is some of a NFC North kind of show. We're playing out live in Minneapolis. Our friends at WCPT 820 in Chicago, right. They're listening. They don't see Aaron Rodgers through the same rose-colored or green and gold glasses you see him through. He is the most despised player in the NFL right now. And I think this is sort of a weird example because, you know, I, as a Packer fan, yeah, I thought he was asinine. I thought he did many, many things wrong. But I was cheering for him, and I have forgiven him already his indiscretions because he's back in the fold, right? He's the prodigal QP returned. So here's my question. Do you see any parallels between our tribal adoration for Aaron Rodgers, despite his faults and shortcomings as a person, less so as a quarterback, and the fact everybody else hates him? Do you see any parallels with, let's say, Donald Trump and the tribalism existing in our nation right now, Harvey?
Well, let's face it. If you're a Packers fan, this is what I tell people. And if there are any conservatives listening, pay close attention. If you are a progressive for a start, you have to be a Packers fan. This is the community, fan-owned, regional-owned team in the NFL. The rest of the NFL fears the possibility that Americans might wake up one day and say, you know, the Packers, whatever we think about them when we have to play them, they're a model for America. Remember years ago, what was it? Dallas was the America's team?
Yeah.
What a joke.
So
what
they
a
claimed.
Joke that was. Absolute joke. So the Packers came back, at least those of us who wrote about them, and said, well, we're the people's team. But I think it is the case that the people's team is a model for America. And honestly, if you want to believe in this nation, you got to be a Packers fan. That's all.
Well, here's my final thought on the Packers, and then we'll turn.
But can I sidebar? I have a question
for
you. Yeah,
go ahead. You sidebar
first. Since you're the man in the media. Is he back with Shailene or is he not back with Shailene?
I know that's all the rumor. I was reading about that before we came on the air. Apparently, Aaron Rodgers is back with the ex-fiance / girlfriend, and they flew out together to some event in Florida on a private jet. Hopefully not the same jet that Trump was on. But here's the last thing I'm going to say about the Packers.
Was that event Bakhtiari's wedding or something? No, what was the story?
Yeah, she also accompanied him to the Bakhtiari wedding. So you haven't... Okay. You've been reading the page six, haven't you, Harvey? At least
yes. Can I ask the second question?
Sure,
before
man.
Before we go on, my second question is, as my daughter, my wife said to me, the question is, now that we've got Aaron back and Devontae's been tagged, who else is going to be in the receiver core? There's no guarantee of any of them. Will Rodgers make sure that Cobb returns? Is that going to be part of the deal?
I don't know that they possibly can afford another high-end free agent. You're probably going to have to gear up with some younger players or sign some of your, see some of your young guys come through.
Think Cobb is actually going to be a high-end free agent?
Well, he didn't have the productive year this year, but he'd still, just his tag mark. The Packers are still $25 million over their cap number. So they got to
struggle. Yeah, well, I'm depending on you to write the check to cover them. How's that?
Well, as long as you don't mind a post-dated third-party check, Harvey K., yours is coming in the same fashion. Folks, you're listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. I still blame the Packers and Aaron Rodgers for the 2010, the lifting of Scott Walker and a red ticket to victory. The state of Wisconsin, if the Packers are having a good year, then the incumbent, whoever it is, the incumbent party is probably going to win re-election. So, this might actually fare well for Governor Tony Evers, although God only knows what it means for Ron Johnson's future. But, Harvey, let's...
You know what? You know yes, what? Sir. What you just yes. said... I'm willing to forgive Rodgers everything now.
If he gets,
if
Tony
we can
Evers
make sure
re-elected.
That we hold on to our Democratic governor, and even possibly, given the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision recently, pick up some more Senate and Assembly seats. How's that?
Well, as long as you're willing to blame him for the last red wave election back in 2010, Harvey, let's talk about President Joe Biden. And I know. The State of the Union address, and we talked off air, but let's talk on air about it. You weren't necessarily impressed with the tone of the speech. You called it, you analogized it, at least to me, and I don't mean to steal your thunder, but you called a Mardi Gras float. Tell me what you meant by that.
Yeah, well, I will get to that as my punchline to what I'm about to say, okay? Here's the thing. I was listening to the speech. I was glued to the TV set, in fact.
I was watching the Badger game, so you did better than I. I watched the speech a little bit later.
I don't mean to make any enemies in the Madison area, but I am not a UW-Madison sports fan at all. My sports teams come out of a place called Louisiana, LSU, okay? I pay attention to LSU football. And by the way, I was kind of
entertained you and James
by the fact
Carville.
That Rutgers all the, what?
I said you and James Carville, right?
No, well, that's about the only thing he and I might agree on in terms, okay? No, but and the other thing is that I was kind of entertained since I was an undergraduate at Rutgers that Rutgers all of a sudden was hitting the media of Big Ten basketball-wise. So, okay. But you asked me. So I was glued to the TV set, and I think it's a shame that more Democrats, people who are progressives, weren't watching Biden because I didn't want people to think I'm misrepresenting his speech. So I'm listening, and I was moved by his ability to hit all the right notes in the speech, except for one. He didn't talk at all about the student debt question. That, to me, was unfortunate. But he was hitting all the right notes. But after a while, I came to realize that hitting the right notes may have been basically, as you were leading me to repeat what I told you, it was like a Mardi Gras float. Now, people know that down in Mardi Gras, these parades that go on for about a week or more leading up to the big New Orleans one itself, they throw out the coins, you know, doubloons, and they throw out the beads, and they're colorful and they're wonderful, and everybody reaches for them, and you try to bring home as many as you can. Well, the fact is that the beads are basically cheap stuff. And in fact, my sense was that he was offering a line to workers, a line to women, a line especially to people of color, African Americans on voting rights, but that he wasn't telling us how we're supposed to go about making sure that something goes on in Congress to enable him to get bills on his desk to sign them into law. And I kept thinking about that and quickly realized that there were really important things he failed to do in the speech. So, for example, when he introduced the CEO, I assume he's a billionaire, of the Intel Corporation, and talked about the fact that the Intel Corporation was going to invest $20 billion in the eastern section of Ohio, you know, to start manufacturing various things that would be high-paid jobs, I thought, okay, I know that that's a classic thing that he had to do because Trump tried to show the degree to which he was going to hold on to jobs when he was, when he went through his State of the Union message early on. But this is the thing. I was really disappointed and eventually became rather angry. The fact that Biden, was it Scranton Joe, you know, the guy who was going to be the friend of labor, that he couldn't figure out, or nobody in his entourage could figure out, wouldn't it be a damn good idea and a damn good signal to the nation if he brought on a variety of Starbucks workers who are organizing in the Starbucks shops, or perhaps Kellogg's workers, where they were suffering, you know, I don't want to, oh, nearly slave-like, serf-like conditions in the workplace and had to really fight for attention and to get a better contract. Or for that matter, bring in miners from Alabama. Or how about, you know, the name Chris Smalls, the sort of lead organizer in the New York area of Amazon workers. Why couldn't he have one or more of them up in the gallery? That would have been a nice sign. Or how about when he talked about the threat to a woman's right to choose? Why couldn't he have, for example, talked about the fact that when Donald Trump won the presidency, the largest demonstrations imaginable, the Women's March, took to the streets in New York, St. Louis, everywhere one can imagine in the country, really setting an making an historic statement about women's rights and the imperative to defend them. Why couldn't he have said, maybe women and those of us who are their allies should turn out once again to remind Congress that it is time to truly defend a woman's right to choose? Or better than that, maybe he should have leaned over at the lectern he was speaking from and looked down at Amy Coney Barrett and, what's his name, Kavanaugh, and said, the Supreme Court does not have the right to strip Americans of their rights. Those are the kind of things I would have loved to have seen. So, you know, that's my take.
Harvey, a very smart woman who I buried, pointed out to me in 2014, after Scott Walker won re-election here in the state of Wisconsin, said, woke up like 6 o'clock in the morning. I look at my wife. She's like, the Democrats didn't offer anything to the quote unquote white working class. And she's not that political a person. And the fact that she woke up in a cold sweat at 6 a.m. Harvey, you talk about the speech. Well, you know, you talk about all the different things, but it sounds like he checked a lot of boxes. And my fear is that we as Democrats are often characterized as, you know, only being there for those who we can check a box for. And something that Bernie Sanders did quite a bit differently. And nearly every conversation I heard with Bernie, maybe to his credit, maybe to his fault, he didn't talk about issues in terms of race or LGBTQ. Almost every conversation came through the prism of the haves and the have-nots. And Harvey, I know you've got some thoughts on this. Let's come back. My fine guest, Harvey K. Harvey, we're going to start calling Aaron Rodgers an oligarch. I mean, he's well on his way, right? $200 billion, that's a lot of cheese. Come back with us.
I'll be back to talk more about that.
You better be back, Harvey K. More Devil's Advocates.
That'll be the day. That'll be the day.
It's a process. It's a process. We'll get it done.
That's a great idea. Okay, how do we do that?
I did what I came to do.
The hell does that mean?
Thank you. Go get him.